When people ask me about my story, what's that core message? And when you tell it, the audience like really feels that experience and that emotion, and that allows them to want to buy into the bigger idea of what the story or the brand is about.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a seven-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast. It is no secret that in today's highly competitive business world, it's more important than ever for small businesses to stand out from the crowd and connect with their audiences on a deeper level. But how? Well, my guest today would argue, and I personally have to agree, that the answer is storytelling. Stories have the power to captivate, inspire, and influence people's emotions and actions, making them an invaluable tool for small business owners looking to build brand loyalty and drive sales. And my guest today, well, he is your go-to guy when you want your virtual or live presentations and copy to get clients and not just claps. As a certified speaking professional, he's been on the professional speaking circuit for over a decade, and he's advised the biggest names in the industry to speak and sell from both virtual and live stages. Most recently, he helped me and my team revamp our keynote presentation for our recent launch, and under his guidance, we more than doubled our revenue goals. I honestly couldn't think of a better person to help us craft compelling stories that resonate with our target market. So let's discover the secrets to successful storytelling with Colin Boyd. Before we dive into the episode, I know you are going to want to learn more from Colin. So if you are eager to learn his technique and system for conversion storytelling, head to jennakutcher.com/story. That's jennakutcher.com/story. But without further ado, let's dive on in. Colin, welcome to the Gold Digger Podcast. If you love Gold Digger, then you'll love the Side Hustle Pro podcast hosted by Nikayla Matthews Okome, brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Side Hustle Pro showcases diverse entrepreneurs who have scaled from a humble side hustle to a full-blown profitable business. Every week, you'll learn actionable strategies to start small and get going wherever and whoever you are. In Nikayla's recent episode titled, How to Make Content for Your Business in Less Than 1 Hour a Week, I learned so much about how to optimize recording sessions to get content done quicker, as well as new content creation tech and tools. You have to tune in. Listen to Side Hustle Pro wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, so I have to tell everyone first how I came to know you, Colin, and the whirlwind story of ours, and then we can dive in. But what was really interesting is sometimes I feel like, especially on your entrepreneurial journey, you discover something or someone at the perfect time. And I feel like you entered my world at the perfect time because recently I was preparing for a launch and I was about to do my first live webinar in a very long time. Like I hadn't done a live webinar in a whole year. And all of a sudden I pull up my girl, my best friend, Amy Porterfield's podcast, and here she is talking to some guy about webinars. And I found myself on an airplane flying to a speaking engagement, listening to your podcast episode multiple times and taking notes to the point where I asked Amy, do you think Colin would talk to me? And you came into my life at the perfect time. We're going to talk more about that soon. But because we cut to the chase and got right down to business in our friendship, I want to know more about who you are, what makes you you, and what your story has been. So first, welcome to the show and let's dive on in.
Yeah, thanks, Jenna. So for me, it started about 14 years ago. I started out as a life coach. And so I'm kind of newly married. I'm living in this two-bedroom apartment right next to the railway tracks. I've got this old brown desk that I found on the side of the road. It has 2.5 legs and it's being held up by phone books, right? Like I'm at that level of prosperity in my life. And I had this big desire to help people because I was learning life coaching. I was loving the philosophy, the methodology. Problem was, is there was no one around to help. Like I had no clients. I kind of had what I call half a client, which was when they turn up every now and again, pay you every now and again. But I remember in my mind, I'm like, this is not sustainable. Like I can't do this long term. And what happened was I'm sitting at my desk and I got this call on my landline at the time, which I'd wired all the way in from the kitchen into another room, right? and was my buddy. And he said, hey, I've got a speaking engagement coming up that I can't do. Would you like to do it? Now, I'd never spoken before other than at college or at school, you know, or at a youth group. And I was like, sure, I'll give it a go. And I remember coming into that evening, I was so nervous, like absolutely petrified. I remember my wife used to give me like pep talks every single morning. We would walk around the neighborhood and she'd like pep talk me of like, everything's going to be all right, Colin. You're going to make it through, like all this sort of stuff. And that evening, it was literally a dark and stormy night. We're walking up the stairs and the event organizer, he runs to me. He's like, Colin, you wouldn't believe this. Biggest night we've ever had in the history of our events. We've got 137 people here live. In my mind, this is bad news because in my mind, I'm just thinking, great, there's just more people that I'm going to look stupid in front of, right? So I do my presentation and at the end, I made an offer and I didn't realize it, but the offer was an irresistible offer. And out of the 137 people, 127 of them gave me their personal details to follow up about the offer. And I followed as many people as I could up. I ended up signing like 12 to 15 full-time coaching clients. And then 4 days later, HP, there was a director from Hewlett-Packard, they called me. They were sitting in the room and they asked me to come and speak at their next global training day, which ended up having 5,500 people. And I ended up working with HP for 10 years. I flew all around the world with them, spoke at their major conferences, spoke with all the big corporations around the world, especially Asia Pacific area. Now I'm based in the US, but was obviously in Australia. And what was crazy was that for me, all of this exploded from one speaking engagement. All of this exploded from speaking on stage. And when I think about it, I wasn't even that good, like right at the start. And then that obviously, you know, catapulted into online stages and webinars, which you talked about as well. But for me, that's where my obsession around speaking and storytelling really started. And then 6 years ago, we moved to the US and had the privilege of working with some pretty incredible people, including yourself. So that's kind of been the journey.
Have you always been a good storyteller? Like, where is this rooted? Because I have to imagine that some of this is a natural gift and a lot of it is also probably learned.
Yeah, for me, when I actually realized as an adult that I probably had some slight dyslexia growing up. And I remember many times struggling to read, struggling to comprehend. And I think I probably learned that maybe I need to get good at speaking rather than just reading all the time. And so I kind of like, I probably leant more towards trying to be a good communicator with my language and the verbal word than the written word. So that was maybe something that like lent me towards it. I would say that I definitely do have a skill set around communicating, but this is what I know is that everyone that I've worked with, because, you know, I've worked with thousands of people around the world. And so I've obviously worked with people who would consider themselves terrible storytellers and people who are naturally good storytellers. But what I know is that there's definitely some tactics and principles, which we can go through today, that can elevate your ability to become a great storyteller. And if you don't follow those principles, even if you are naturally a good communicator, there's going to be so much missing in your stories anyway. So I think anyone can learn and grow that skill. Sure, there is some natural innate abilities in some people, but I think anyone can grow that. And when I think about it as an entrepreneur, learning how to tell your story and your audience's story is so crucial to your marketing and all those sort of things. So yeah, we'll unpack that.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because the one thing that I learned from you, and I feel like I'm going to continue to learn from you, is that fact that stories sell. And I think that for a lot of people, and I'm going to group myself into this bucket, we think, you know, I've told this story a million times, or everyone knows this story. They're going to roll their eyes and move on or whatever. And I think a lot of times our stories lose their weight in our own lives. And so we neglect them or forget about them or pass through them very quickly. But what I love about you is it's not just about being a good storyteller. You help connect that story to the sale. And I will bet that so many people listening to this podcast hate selling. If we asked anyone, don't you just love selling your thing? They would say, absolutely not. So walk me through what you believe about storytelling and how it relates to selling. And then we can dive into some of the specific tips and keys that people need to include.
Well, there's kind of two buckets that we could focus on here. There's the idea of selling and the idea of storytelling, and they definitely come together. So let's just start with selling in general.
Yeah.
Because if you're an entrepreneur, even if you're selling bracelets or you're selling on Etsy or you're selling coaching services or an online course, as an entrepreneur, if you don't learn how to sell, you won't be an entrepreneur for very long. Like, you kind of have a very expensive hobby. And so learning how to sell is actually, it's inevitable. Now, the good thing about it is that even if you feel really uncomfortable selling, if you make some mindset shifts, then you can actually feel really comfortable selling. And I think one of the biggest mindset shifts that people need to make is realizing that when you sell, the word sell, I didn't even like the word selling. The reason why is because it feels like you're doing something to someone else. Like, you're kind of pushing someone to do something. But for me, the idea of selling is actually about attracting the right person towards the offer. Like, I think about, you know, like a MacBook computer. I just went into Mac and, you know, I just bought two computers, spent almost 10 grand on like two computers, and no one sold me on anything. Like, yeah. I walked in, I'm like, I want these computers. I want the top level of this. Like, I'm like, it's like I'm the one demanding them to give me the product, right?
Yeah.
And when you think about it, that for me is like the most beautiful experience of selling from a company's perspective.
Yeah.
And so when I think about storytelling, when storytelling is done right, your story actually attracts the right type of audience towards your offer. And so what happens is the audience ends up starting to ask to join your offer before it's even open. And some of people might call this like, they might have a wait list or they might have something on there, right? And then you've got all these people who are waiting at the door, almost like a VIP line going, I want to get in. And if you view selling as more, this is how I define selling. Selling is creating a space of transformation for your audience. And so if I think about like your program around Pinterest, my program around speaking and selling, that offer for me is a space that I actually protect. I'm not trying to push anyone to get into it. I'm trying to get the right people into that program because if I know the right people come in, they're going to change their life. Like, they're going to be like a completely different person from that experience. I think about your program. Like, if they learn the Pinterest strategies and they get the traffic to their websites, they're going to have a completely different experience of not only their business, but their personal life, their marriage. They won't be arguing over money as much anymore or at all, right? Like, all these experiences happen because someone made an offer or someone sold something. And so that's like the first shift I think we need to make. We need to see selling is actually a doorway to serving. And until you make that shift, being an entrepreneur is going to be extremely uncomfortable. But the good thing is that all of us can make that shift. I'm curious for you, Jenna, like, how's that journey been for you with selling and so forth?
Totally. So we're going to break down some of the tips that Colin gave me because I think it really transformed the way that I showed up, especially during my webinar, which is like being on stage, but online, right? A virtual stage. But I remember, you know, selling, it was like you could feel the energy change when it came time to pitch, right? You're teaching, you're sharing, you're engaging, you're excited. Oh, crap. Here comes the offer, right? Like, your palms get sweaty, you get shaky. I would have these papers of scripts and I'd be trying to like flip them over, but like not have the sound be in the microphone. It was just this very visceral reaction. And it's fascinating because even when you reviewed my webinar for me, you were like, the pitch was amazing. Like, it was great. And I said, that's because I am so confident in what I am selling that like I I will shout it from the rooftops with pride because I want everyone to experience this freedom, right? And so it's interesting because I think that obviously your confidence grows with your experience, but when you have such deep conviction, it is not just heard, it's felt.
That's so true, because when people buy from you, they're not just buying a system, they're buying a feeling.
Yeah.
And when you, as the speaker, as the entrepreneur, carry that feeling into an offer, the audience genuinely senses it.
Yeah.
And I think that there's like a spectrum in learning how to feel confident in your offer. The first piece is actually going through the transformation yourself. And so it's like you've experienced something on a deep level from the content or from the ideas that you're selling, and you just feel excited about it, right? The second level is where you have got clarity on how that process actually occurred. Real clarity on these are the steps you need to follow to actually create that result. And the third level of certainty I see as where you've got enough social proof from other people to show that what you teach can be scaled or can be extrapolated into other people's lives. And so for me, those three levels is the journey of entrepreneurship and creating certainty in your offer.
Yeah. So let me explain how Colin like stepped in and helped me in this crucial period. One thing I will say is for anyone listening to this that ever does a launch or you're selling or you have a new promotion or a new product or a new offer, there is always that doubt period right before you're about to go to market, right? Is this crazy? Is anyone going to buy it? Is it going to work? I don't care how many years you're in business. There is still that moment where you second guess everything. And I always remind myself, like, do not guess what you created with a sound mind, because when you get into launch, you no longer have a sound mind. It's gone. And Colin came in, and after listening to his interview with Amy, I was like, oh man, like he had so many different tips and strategies around storytelling. And I said, you know, I love to teach. Like a lot of times I'll just pack my trainings or pack my presentations with so much content because I just want people to get results, right? And I realized in learning from him, like I'm doing a disservice by leaving the stories out. And a tendency that I often have is to skip through the story, because in the past, we've all heard fluffy stories where it's like, cut the fluff, get to the point. But you helped teach that like stories create that relatability and that understanding and help people put themselves in the position that maybe you were in. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So one of the mistakes that people make with their stories is that they think their story is about them. And so even your own personal story, and there's this angle that I call your story, which is a conversion story. You have a few types of stories. You have like signature stories that are stories that you'll tell to refer to different points, which is probably one of the stories that you told, Jenna, about being a mom and losing your time, and which was such a powerful story. And then you've got a conversion story. And a conversion story is the story that links your offer to the story, or links the audience and the offer to the story. So they all kind of come together. And so one of the mistakes that people make is that they forget, or you forget, how much the audience doesn't know your story.
Yeah.
And it's so fascinating, because even that story I told at the start, Jenna,
yeah,
I reckon I've told that about 3,000 times.
Yeah.
Like no word of a lie. I've probably told that about 3,000 times. But when I tell it, I have to realize that the person listening to it, they've never heard it before.
Yes.
Many of them haven't heard it before. And even if they have heard it before, I want to relive it and re-experience it like as if it's happening for the first time. So that means bringing up those emotions, bringing up those feelings, like reliving that experience. And that is this whole idea of that when you present, when you tell a story, even if the story is about you, the story is for the audience. And when you tell it right, what happens is the audience actually puts themselves in your story. And so there are three questions, which you're probably kind of referring to. There are three questions that I always try to answer on every story. The first question is, are you like me? And so in your story, you have to explain this idea that you get them, you are like them. Because the problem is that they're seeing you as an elevated version on the stage. So maybe you're running a webinar, or you're speaking at an event, or you're doing a Facebook Live. Like you're the one teaching, right? And so because you're teaching, you actually have an innate authority, an innate elevation because you're on a stage or you're presenting or you're the entrepreneur. And so what you need to do is you need to show, no, you're exactly like them. And you know the feelings they're experiencing. You know how difficult it is. You know how hard it can be. And you didn't get this like golden ticket. You actually know what it's like to struggle. And that's where we need to start with our stories. And so the first piece is really about connection. It's about vulnerability. It's about answering that question of, are you like me? The second piece is, can you lead me? Because I don't know about you, but I know for me, I've heard some people tell stories and they didn't kind of finish with any sort of like breakthrough or like revelation. And
you're
I'm like,
cool, you're still stuck.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, that's a lot of drama.
But is there like, resolution?
Is there any resolution? Like you even think about a good movie, right? If the movie doesn't have resolution, there isn't that bow at the end of it. You wouldn't tell people about it. You just kind of feel a bit icky when you finish.
Yeah.
And so your story as well has to have that resolution. It has to have that credibility, that breakthrough, that experience of where you show the audience, you're not just like them, but you can lead them. And that's a cool angle as well in a story is like, you got to make sure you can show that, oh, okay, you can lead them. And the third secret sauce, which makes it a conversion story is you actually show that what you went through followed a specific path. And that specific path is your core premise or your core idea. And so if you can infuse your core premise or your core idea in your story and find those transformational moments, all of a sudden when you tell your story, it shows the audience that you are like them, that you can lead them. And even more than that, you've got this beautiful path that they can follow.
Yeah, this was so eye-opening to me, and I think it's really encouraging. And every single person listening has a story like this within them, right? They have probably multiple stories
100%.
Like within them. And I think it's also beautiful. You know, I went through the process of writing a book, and it's a really beautiful process as a human being to really reflect on the path and what you've overcome and what got you there and how that can impact other people. I believe that deep down innately, human beings want to leave their mark and they want to give purpose to maybe some of the pain they've been through. And I think that story is a way that we can really do that, honor that, and share that with the world.
And I think one cool thing to do about this is sometimes asking the question of what you do about?
Yeah.
And so let's say you sell jewelry.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say you sell jewelry. Like jewelry is about like elevating the experience of who you are. Jewelry is about connecting with yourself and connecting with others. It's presenting your best self, right? Like, so you might say, okay, jewelry, what story could I tell? Tell a story about a moment where you connected with yourself and how jewelry, like, and that the jewelry you create is an expression of who you are. Like, I even think about like that brand Pandora.
Yeah.
That has all the different jewels and gems and stuff.
Yeah.
And how they link those jewels and gems to moments in people's lives. Like, they've done a brilliant job of using like jewelry, right? Which is a very tactile kind of experience. And they've built it into a story, or you create your own story on the experience of the bracelet.
Yeah.
And so it's so cool to think about like with your story is not just about telling the timeline of what you went through. It's about thinking about what's that core message that I want to present. When people ask me about my story, what's that core message? And when you tell it, the audience like really feels that experience and that emotion, and that allows them to want to buy into the bigger idea of what the story or the brand is about.
It's no secret that business owners are under a lot of pressure right now. We're pressured to get more leads, close deals faster, get better insights to create the best experience for customers, and so much more. So how do we manage it all while still ensuring the best customer service? That's where HubSpot comes in. HubSpot is a customer relationship management tool that is easy to set up, intuitive to use, and customizable to the way that you do business. Drag and drop your way to attention-grabbing emails and landing pages, set up marketing automation to give every contact white glove treatment, plus AI-powered tools like Content Assistant mean less time spent on tedious manual tasks and more time for what matters most, your customers. HubSpot has all the tools you need to wow prospects, lock in deals, and improve customer service response times. Let HubSpot take the pressure off your shoulders and get started for free today at HubSpot.com. You're already so close to having everything you need to transform your ideas, those little sparks into your brain, into something real. Far too many good dreams die before they've had the chance to grow. Fear stomps them out. Lack of planning keeps them quiet. And we're committed to changing that today. Are you ready? My Goal Digger Printable Planner is here to help you map out every plan, list, tracker, and prompt that you need in order to achieve your personal goals, your business dreams, or your wellness vision. Whatever your ideas are, you are equipped to plan and play. Snag the Goal Digger Planner at jennakutcher.com/goaldiggerplanner for the resources to get that dream down on paper so that it can finally grow. That's jennakutcher.com/goaldiggerplanner. So I have ADHD. And part of that is that oftentimes when we tell stories, we start at the end and then we go to the middle and then we go back to the beginning. And how can somebody work on becoming a better storyteller? I mean, I think we've all experienced that one person at the gathering or the social meetup that doesn't read social cues or, you know, keeps going on and on and on. What are some tips for us who might need to refine the art of storytelling, whether it's in our copy or presentations or how we show up online? Do you have any tips on that?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, like, how long should it be?
Yeah.
All right. How long should your story be? And I think it depends, because to be honest, like, I've seen people in a, you know, an hour keynote tell a 40-minute story, but be able to weave their key points in amongst the story.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Like, your story could be 40 minutes. Generally on a webinar, it's around 5 to 7 minutes is usually what I'm aiming for, yeah, for a conversion story or the core story you're going to tell. When it comes to, you know, the order and the structure, I think about like a classic storytelling model, which is similar to what I went through before. You know, it's really nice to find a moment or to start in a place of where it's, you were in a struggle, you describing the situation early on, you're in a place of desperation or struggle or challenge. Because, you know, if you think about, imagine I told a story and I said, you know, one day I bought this lotto ticket and I went up to the local gas station and I put it in and I won $4 million. And then I've been able to buy boats and cars and everything. It's been amazing. It's like, okay, cool. Like, good on you.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, that's a crap story. Like, no one, yeah, cares about that story. Right. But when you tell a story where you were in a real time of struggle and you had to make a decision where you stepped out of yourself, you stepped out of your comfort zone, you embraced that next level version of yourself, and you describe that, how you were feeling, like what was the internal experience? So this is one of the tips, is a lot of the time people don't describe the internal experience that they had.
Yeah.
And the internal experience is actually the most relatable part of a story. Because you, Jenna, might be telling your story, you know, starting out as a photographer, but I'm like, I'm not a photographer. But if you talk about the struggle of trying to get visible, the struggle of trying to get clients, the struggle, the dreams you had about creating something meaningful, see, I can relate to that. And so describing the internal experiences that you're having, not just the actual story from an external perspective, that's one of the secrets that allows the audience to put themselves in your story. And so thinking about this idea that structure is like, and there's a very specific structure, but I'll kind of like overview it. It's, you know, you start in that vulnerability, you make that decision of like, I want to make a breakthrough in my life. You go on that journey, you see the breakthrough, and then you have the revelation that it was all through this core idea. And that core idea, if you can align it with what you teach, what you help people with, that is going to be a story that will allow your audience to want to work with you without going, come and work with me.
Yes. Oh, I love that. One thing that you taught me a lot about, something that I had never done before when it came to teaching or selling, was the use of analogies. Will you talk to me about why analogies are important, how we can leverage them more in our marketing, and how to come up with them? That's something I'm still thinking about.
Yeah. So analogies are one of the most influential linguistic tools we have. And an analogy or a metaphor is a high-level idea that is vague enough for the audience to understand, but it has enough specificity to link it to your idea. So I'll give you an example of this. So one of the ideas that I teach is this idea called infusion selling. So infusion selling is the idea of speaking and selling at the same time. And the metaphor I use is like dropping dye into water. And so imagine you have this cup of water with an R, with water, and you drop the you drop the dye, everyone gets it, you drop the dye into the water and it starts to infuse through the water, like it starts to change color. And that is the water represents the audience's minds and hearts. And when you infusion sell, when you speak and sell at the same time, what happens is eventually after the presentation, the webinar, the color of the audience's minds and hearts has completely changed. And it wasn't abrupt. It infused through the whole experience. And so that's an example of a metaphor or an analogy that I use to explain kind of like a foreign concept of infusion selling, like because I, you know, I made up that word, right? It's one of the concepts I teach. And so I took what is like unknown and I made it known through a metaphor. Another classic example is, you know, you could just say a simple one like, you know, running a business is like flying a plane. Right, that you have to know how to take off. There's a lot of velocity, a lot of push, a lot of drive. You hit this certain degree of speed and you get flight and you start traveling at that flight. You got to learn how to read the cockpit. And then eventually you have to land. And most entrepreneurs don't have a landing strategy. And so if you're selling exiting businesses, that's a great metaphor to use, right? Because if you don't know how to land, you're going to be in trouble. And so a metaphor is just really asking the question of, what is this like? And if you answer that question, what it does is it's such an influential tool. I don't know if you want to speak to the one that we kind of came up with in your
life. Yeah. We were working together yesterday and we were just talking about thinking of like, how can we relate Pinterest in a way that if someone is just using it casually to collect pretty things, how can they see it as this incredible search engine or traffic driver? And the one that we came up with yesterday was like, it's like cooking this incredible Thanksgiving meal and you have the table all set and there's no one there to enjoy it. It's wasted. You're frustrated. You spend all this time preparing. And that's what happens with our content when we create it, but we don't actually promote it or invite people to enjoy it. And so Pinterest is like those beautiful invitations that will put people in the seats at your table there to enjoy it. And as a creator, there is no better way to host. And so we had talked about this and I was like, I love this because, you know, for me, even when I think back, Colin, I listened to your interview with Amy 3 different times. The thing that I remember the most was not the frameworks or the strategies. It was the stories you told. And it's so interesting how stories kind of transcend, like it gives such a different experience. And while a lot of us like to think and lead with strategy, that story is truly that tie that binds. And I love that. I love that.
Yeah, I think like, so the mistake that people make is either skip over their story.
Yeah, that's me.
Right?
Yeah.
They skip over their story or they spend like too much time on the wrong type of story.
Yeah.
Right? So there's some people who you were mentioning, like they don't read the social cues. They spend too long on the wrong story and there's no point to it. So, because what you're referring to, Jenna, is the fact that, you know, in business, people don't like to waste their time. And so it's that thing in your mind of if you don't have a really clear point to your story and it's not linked to something, you've actually wasted the audience's time.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to do that, but you also don't want to skip over your story because the story is the part that allows the audience to enter the experience of the presentation or the experience of the brand. And so, yeah, when you think about stories, don't skip over them. Structure them correctly, but also don't tell a story that has nothing to do with what you're talking about. That's referred to as a distractor story. And a distractor story is okay. If you're running like a full day workshop or something, you could tell some random distractor stories. It's kind of like lighthearted, an experience you had in the cafeteria or something like that. You know, like they're kind of funny, but if you've got that in a 50-minute webinar presentation, that is not going to work. And so, dialing in your stories is really important, and it allows the audience to enter that space.
One thing that I learned from you yesterday when we were reviewing everything, I love learning. And you guys, Colin is someone who I'm just like, oh my gosh. He was like, I'm going to give you some advice. You can take it or leave it. I was like, I will take all of it. Thank you very much. But one thing that I really loved for you and what you taught me as well is, especially in some sort of presentation, it's so important to have a through line and to come back to it again and again. And I think that that's something that a lot of people struggle with is, you know, you have this broad idea or you have this big goal in mind for what you're going to talk about. But, you know, you had said like, oh, you said this one thing way towards the end, but I want to pull it up to the front because this is the key. And I was like, okay, then do I still keep it in the end? You're like, yes, keep it, like keep reminding and bringing people back home to that because they need that reminder. Can we talk about like, how do you get that definitive like goal or that one thing? And then how can we weave that into how we show up?
Yeah. So for me, with every presentation, I usually try to distill what I'm trying to say down to one sentence.
Yes.
Or one core idea, one core belief.
Yep.
That if the audience can get this belief, then everything else becomes a lot easier. And so if you can, when you think about any presentation, you distill this down to one core belief, then that through line is like the backbone of the whole presentation. And all of the ribs that are built around it form the structure. But the backbone is the supporting structure. And that's referred to as the core premise. And so the core premise is that one belief that if we can get that clear and straight, that's the through line. And the thing that we forget as the speaker, as the communicator, the entrepreneur, is that we're incredibly close to our presentations. We're incredibly close to our content. We've spent 30 hours to prepare for a 30-minute presentation where the audience has spent zero time. They're seeing you for the first moment, right?
Right.
And so in our mind, I'm like, oh, we've already heard this before. And it's like the audience has never heard this before.
Yes.
And so this is this idea of that really good communicators are very good at keeping contextual clarity in their presentation. So in other words, keeping clarity of what the big idea is all about, or what the through line is all about. And what's also powerful about this is in understanding the core premise is that this actually forms all of your marketing as well.
Yeah.
So if you're doing promotions, I know just recently I was one of our students in our programs. She was doing like $30,000 webinars. And she got really clear on her core idea, what her core idea was about. And she helps hairdressers grow their business through creating online courses. And she got really clear on a core idea that reformed all of her marketing and brought everything back to this one idea. And her next webinar, she did 191,000. And then the one after that, she did 297,000. And she came back to me. She's like, Colin, it was all about this core idea. When I got clear on the core premise, it gave me the confidence to go, everything leads back to this one idea. If I can get them to believe this idea, my offer is the logical next step if that's something that they want to do. And so that's, everyone's got to get clear on that core idea. It makes everything easier.
Yeah. And I always use like as a basis, and maybe you can correct me if this is a terrible idea, because it very well could be. But whenever I think of the core idea, I always think of like a SMART goal, like specific, measurable, attainable, timely, and realistic. And that's like, even when I create a course, it's like, what is the end result? And is it very clear? Yes or no? Am I going to be able to do this? Is this for me? Is this an easy yes? And I feel like if we circle back to the beginning where you're talking about like, I want to create like a transformative experience in space and I want people to qualify themselves, I feel like this method is less about convincing and more about people qualifying themselves. And I think that really shifts how selling feels.
Yeah. Like when you're clear on what you're about, what goal you have, and the type of person it's for, all of a sudden, it's actually about the audience qualifying themselves rather than you trying to push it on the audience. And so it shifts the trajectory of the momentum of the offer. And so, when you do that well, selling becomes so much easier. It becomes irresistible. Like the audience goes, I want that thing, as opposed to, oh, I feel kind of like, strong-armed into buying that thing. And so for me, this kind of comes up a lot. Actually, my students ask around this. They'll say, what's the difference between the outcome of a presentation and the core premise of a presentation? And the outcome of the presentation is the SMART goal. That's exactly what you said. It's the, and that helps you get really clear, really clear on like, this is the outcome that I want. It's really specific. It's measurable. It's targeted. It's focused. And you know exactly what it is. For me, the core premise is the idea that sits underneath it. And so for you, it was that idea of that building a Pinterest traffic system is the most effective way to, and then you describe the outcome that you want, get the eyeballs on your leads, on your offers, et cetera, right? But it's built around a core idea. It actually, what's fascinating is when I think about the idea, the core premise is more about a belief than it is than even getting like an actual, it's a blend of like a belief and an outcome together. Mm-hmm. So I think definitely, start with a SMART goal. That helps you to get clear. And then you ask, what's the thing someone needs to believe to make that SMART goal reality?
Yes.
And then that's the thing we need to focus on, creating content to support in the presentation and in the storytelling and in the, all of this selling that you do within it.
So now that everyone has learned from you, they're going to be obsessed with you, just like me. I now have Colin on speed dial, which is a blessing. Where can people learn more about you and what you teach and like this whole system that you have?
Well, so, I mean, if you like podcasts, if you're a podcast listener, I have a podcast called The Expert Edge, where I interview amazing experts and we unpack ideas, et cetera. So definitely that. I love Instagram. I'm at Colin Boyd, C-O-L-I-N-B-O-Y-D. And I know that you have got something that you wanted to share with the audience, because I know you've been using my stuff and you wanted to share it with the audience. So why don't you kind of share that?
Yes. So if you go to jennakutcher.com/story, you can learn from Colin. And I just want to first just share my own experience, and then Colin, you can share what they'll find when they go there. But for me, it's been super powerful, because I think a lot of times we undermine our own stories and the power of them. And it's really easy to want to skip through them or to breeze past them and just to get to the meat of the content. And I'm so guilty of that. I am the kind of person who writes an email and has to go back and add the pleasantries in, because I'm straight to business. And I feel like Colin has helped me to give frameworks that allow me to have the right stories in the right places that give me the confidence to make selling truly do feel like a service. And so I love frameworks. Yesterday when we were jamming on Zoom, I was like, give me all the frameworks. Like if you give me one framework, I will repeat it like a workhorse and you will never have to teach me it again. And I just think there is such power in that. So what will they find when they go to jennakutcher.com/story?
Yeah. So if you want to find out more about designing your conversion story, you can take a look at jennakutcher.com/story. And this is where you'll learn about conversion story. In fact, one of my promises is that you can get your conversion story created, dialed in, and shared in under 48 hours. So in 48 hours, you'll have that story that you've been trying to search for 4 years. You'll have that in 48 hours that you can jump on a Facebook Live, you can jump on a presentation, you can jump on a podcast interview. And when that interviewer asks you, tell me about your story, you won't share the normal story anymore. You'll share your conversion story. It's the story that leads the audience towards the offer. So this thing's going to make you money. It's going to position you as an expert, and it's going to create momentum in your business. And so that's what you'll find there. You'll find conversion story formula there, and you can check that out and check out all the stories. And it's super cool.
Thank you so much for waltzing into my life with your sweet Australian accent and coming in like a knight in shining armor, just to remind me, even this far in the game, that our stories matter and they make a difference. And I have just absolutely loved learning from you. And I think you just have such a true talent and a heart to serve. And so to full circle back from you with your wobbly desk that you found on the side of the road, you are doing what you dream dreamt you should be doing, which was impacting lives. And I hope that you see that every single day.
Thanks, Jenna.
Thanks for coming on, Gold Digger. I love learning and I love podcasting. I am so grateful that I heard Colin on a podcast and now I get to learn from him. You know, it's super interesting because I think oftentimes we forget that our favorite leaders have mentors and coaches, people speaking into their lives. They are constantly learning. And Colin has been someone that I have learned so much from. Like, I am so grateful for his advice and insight and takeaways and structure. It's been so, so helpful for me as I learn how to harness the power of story, especially when it comes to selling, something admittedly that a lot of us don't love, myself included. If you want to learn more about Colin and his art of storytelling and get your conversion story written in 48 hours, go to jennakutcher.com/story. That's jennakutcher.com/story so that you can learn more from Colin. Again, I am just so grateful for his talent and the way that it has influenced my work. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Of course, until next time, keep on digging your biggest goals. I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for gold diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com.